Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined today by Derek Brown, D-Bro. We have a great guest today. It's Heath Cummings of CBS Sports. And guys, I'm not even going to do a whole lot of preamble. I will quickly thank Heath for coming on today's show. Again, it's a really busy time of year. I've been saying it all week. It's also a really fun time of year, but it is busy nonetheless. We have a very packed episode, so we are actually going to jump right in here. We are going through round by round and asking who should I draft with a couple of guys. This is based off the half PPR ADP that you can find on the Fantasy Pros website as far as what round these guys are in, so you may see it a little differently in your drafts, but roughly where these guys are going, we're going head-to-head through as many rounds as we can get through. And guys, we are going to jump right in with round number one. And it's the two guys that are going first and second in most drafts. That's Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. So I'm going to hear from both of you guys on who you would take of the two. And then I'm going to use our Who Should I Draft tool from the Fantasy Pros site and say what the experts are saying and how many percentage, you know, are going on each side. But Heath, you are our guest. So I will start with you. Justin Jefferson versus Ja'Marr Chase. Who are you drafting?
You know, I told you before the show, like, there are going to be some of these I'm very passionate about which answer I'm going to give. There are going to be some where I'm just kind of shrugging. I have moved Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase back and forth multiple times over the summer. As of right now, I have it to where in full PPR, I would go with Jefferson, but in half or non-PPR, I am actually taking Ja'Marr Chase. I do think the quarterback security of Chase, the fact that Jordan Addison's been added, and now maybe their target competition is relatively similar, and the fact that we're probably going to see Joe Burrow throw 8 to 10 more touchdown passes than Kirk Cousins does this year. I think Chase has more upside, and so I'll lean slightly to him. But again, I do full projections, and over the full 17-game projection, I have them separated by 3/4 of a fantasy point.
Quickly before we go to D-Bro, Heath, are these your 1 and 2 picks? Like, no running back should be going ahead of these guys?
These are my 1 and 2 picks in both half and full PR, yes.
All right, D-Bro, are you taking Jefferson, or are you also on the Chase train?
I'm on Chase train. I've been there. And again, this is one of those things you really can't get it wrong. But I think the separation that we saw between Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins last year down the stretch is what pushes this over. As well as we want to talk about maybe higher passing rate, better quarterback play. And Ja'Marr Chase, just to put this out there for everybody, when he came back, if he would have kept up the blistering pace that he had in the back half of last season, that man was on pace for 204 targets and 136 receptions. And if those sounds like astronomical numbers, yeah, they are. So he's my wide receiver one this year.
So you guys both going against the grain, because if you go into the Who Should I Draft tool, Justin Jefferson actually gets 89% of the experts that we have in our database are going with Jefferson. That probably sounds like it's more lopsided than it should be. I think pretty much everybody has these guys neck and neck, but most people are going on the Jefferson side. You guys are going against the grain and saying Ja'Marr Chase, number one pick, although like Heath said, kind of can fluctuate depending on the day and has gone back and forth on it. Let's move to round two and a couple of other elite receivers. We're going to ask about A.J. Brown and Davante Adams. D-Bro, I'll start with you this time.
For me, it's going to be A.J. Brown, and I'm just going to continue buying into the Philadelphia Eagles offense. I want no part of anything related to Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't trust the arm. I don't trust the two healthy feet, and I don't want to see what the Aiden O'Connell show looks like. So give me A.J. Brown, slam dunk here.
This one doesn't feel good because it's more fun to say the young guy. It's more fun to say the guy playing with Jalen Hurts, but I just have a hard time believing that quarterback matters for Davante Adams. And we saw him average like 90 yards a game playing with Brett Hundley over a 4-game stretch. We saw him at the end of last year in 2 games without Derek Carr, and he was spectacular in one of those. And you know what? Aiden O'Connell didn't look too bad in his first preseason game. So as long as Davante Adams continues to perform like a wide receiver whose quarterback just does not matter, I'm going to believe he is a wide receiver whose quarterback just does not matter. I'll take Davante Adams. They're both round two picks for me. It's not a big gap, but I'll lean Adams over Brown.
Yeah, the gap is a lot closer here in the Who Should I Draft tool. It's A.J. Brown, 55%, Davante Adams, 45%. I actually expected Adams to be higher. I'm pretty sure I would personally lean with Heath on that one. I did expect it to be close, but I mean, just like the target share he's going to command is going to be excellent, as always, I would have to imagine. Before we move on to round three, I want to tell everybody about Draft Wizard. One key tool within Draft Wizard is our free mock draft simulator. That's at fantasypros.com/simulator, which allows you to quickly own your strategy by performing realistic mock drafts in just minutes, not hours. If you want to know your league's unique trends, we have another tool for that. That's Draft Intel at fantasypros.com/intel, which analyzes up to 5 years of draft data to help you predict your rivals' moves. Draft Intel is like my favorite tool we've come up with in recent years. I think it's so cool to see what the guys that you've been in your long-term leagues do each year and to help you actually apply that to your drafts. That's an awesome tool. Draft Wizard has everything you need to dominate. So draft your way to victory with Draft Wizard at fantasypros.com/draftwizard or download the Fantasy Football Draft Wizard app. I said Draft Wizard a lot in that read. Let's move to round number three. We have Najee Harris versus Travis Etienne. Heath, we'll start with you.
I want to thank you so much for letting me give one of my favorite stats of all of 2023 by bringing up Najee Harris. By the way, I'm going to go with Travis Etienne. One of the reasons I'm going to go with Travis Etienne, Najee Harris is the 10th running back since 1992 to have at least 500 touches the first two seasons of his career and average both below 4 yards per carry and below 5 yards per target. I'm going to give you the nine names of guys who did this before him. Cadillac Williams, Willis McGahee, Julius Jones, Anthony Thomas, Antoine Smith, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the football player, not the basketball player, Eric Rett, Natron Means, and Ronald Moore. Those nine backs combined for three top 20 seasons over the rest of their careers after year two. If you get as many touches as Najee Harris has had his first 2 years in the league and historically are as unproductive as he has been, you start losing touches. And we saw that towards the end of last year with Jaylen Warren taking over pass catching downs. They may actually make Mike Tomlin do something that he hates to do, and that's share touches. I'm out on Najee Harris until round four.
So are you in on Etienne in round three, or is this just a fading Harris where he's going?
I've gotten Etienne at the end of round three in my rankings. Now, I think you guys know the way that works. Like, if you have somebody ranked 33rd in your rankings, you almost never draft him in round three because somebody you have ranked at 28 or 29 or 30 is still there. I think he's fine at the end of round three. I do think he's going to share a little bit with Tank Bigsby, but I'm not convinced that Tank Bigsby is going to have a bigger role than Jaylen Warren.
Yeah, that list you read is pretty astonishing. That's a who's who of guys that make you say who. D-Bro, are you taking Etienne as well, or are you on the Najee train?
No, I'm not taking Etienne. I can't take Etienne. No offense to Heath, but for me with Etienne, I think that Tank Bigsby is going to play a bigger role than people think this year. Because if we look at what Etienne did last year, and me and Erickson have been duking it out on this, but I'm going to bring it up again. He is not going to get the pass game work. That didn't happen last year, so I don't think that, like, adding Calvin Ridley is going to change the fact that he got a 7.8% target share last year. He was also amongst 65 qualifying running backs, 57th, in red zone touchdown conversion rate. We could say luck, offensive line, all those different things, but then they go out and they draft a third round hammer type of early down running back in Tank Bigsby. I think he is going to factor into the red zone. And while I'm not massively high on Najee Harris, I'm going to take him here because with the offensive line upgrade, I think he's going to be given the first crack to still be that type of 80% kind of guy. Now, does he hold that role? That's a fine debate because I love Jaylen Warren this year. People know my stance on Jaylen Warren. But the offensive line upgrades, I don't want to sit here and bury this for Najee Harris because last year, amongst all running backs with at least 100 or more carries, he had the fourth lowest yards before contact per attempt. So bringing in, I'm spacing on the guy's name, the guard from Philadelphia, as well as drafting Broderick Jones, those are going to be massive upgrades for Najee Harris. So I'll take him here.
Yeah, I think these are two guys that I wouldn't say I'm like fading, but I'm not taking either of them in a lot of round threes.
The answer here is just draft wide receivers. In those
I was going to say that was like 90% argument against the other guy. Yes, and 10% exactly. Both of us trying to find something nice to say about the guy we were picking.
I appreciate the effort from both of you. In the Who Should I Draft rule, Najee Harris, 64%, Travis Etienne, 36%. Before we get to the rest of the show, I want to take a quick second to talk to everyone about Fantrax. Guys, if you want customization in your fantasy platform, look no further than Fantrax, offering the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty, keeper, redraft, and best ball leagues. Their free NFL Fantasy Football League Manager is the most customizable, easy to use, feature-rich platform in the industry. They can easily import any current leagues you have on other platforms and begin customizing your settings immediately. Personally, I use Fantrax for my college football fantasy league, my dynasty baseball fantasy league, and of course, my longtime dynasty NFL league made the switch as well. Whether it's Devy leagues, IDP leagues, decimal scoring, tight end premium, unique matchup settings like weekly doubleheaders, there's a reason why fantasy players who try Fantrax make it the permanent home for all their fantasy leagues, because they have it all. So switch your leagues today by heading to Fantrax.com/fantasypros. That's FANTRAX.com/fantasypros. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. Let's go to round four. Debro, we'll start with you here. Debo Samuel versus Amari Cooper.
Oh, this is easy. Amari Cooper for me. I do not understand Debo Samuel's price point, like where he's going as a wide receiver too. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like after CMC arrived, the wide back role for Debo is gone. He's a low A dot player. He's not getting deep targets and he's not getting red zone looks. Where are we going to get production from Debo Samuel in a run first offense? So while I am lower on the Cleveland Browns offense and Deshaun Watson than a lot of people, I'm still going to draft, at least at this point, Amari Cooper because of the volume and because we've seen what he can do with even replaceable level quarterback. Like Jacoby Brissett was not fantastic last year. Deshaun Watson can at least play to that level. I think Cooper's the winner here.
Heath, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Browns offense either. I'm going to go with Debo. And I think like what happened to Debo after Christian McCaffrey showed up, and maybe this will continue, but it seemed a little bit unlucky to me, is the touchdowns disappeared. But he was pretty clearly from week 7 through 14, like not the guy who lost in terms of targets. 7, 6, 9, 7, 10, 5. I think he's the number one guy in terms of targets. And he still saw 3 or 4 rush attempts per game. So I like that magical 2021 season that we saw for Debo Samuel, I don't think that's a possibility, probably even if somebody gets hurt. It was outlandish efficiency. But it regressed too far last year. He was a little bit unlucky last year, so there's a bounce back there. I think he's the number one option in the passing game. I still think he sees a 25% target share in this offense. So I may not like him quite at ADP, but I do like him as a number two wide receiver, and Amari Cooper's more of a number three for me. I've really struggled with what to do with Deshaun Watson. Like, we've got this history of him being an elite passer. In the last 6 weeks of last season, he looked like somebody who didn't deserve to be starting. And so I may be taking a little bit too much from this recent athletic report that the passing game has been so bad at training camp. But if Deshaun Watson's not Deshaun Watson, if he's who we saw last year, and Elijah Moore is going to take a more target share than Donovan Peoples-Jones did last year, I don't know how Cooper's a number two.
Well, I think it's not just the rust we saw last year in the reports, but like I think it is a reasonable concern that he might not be the best fit in a Kevin Stefanski offense. Like just Deshaun's style of play doesn't necessarily lend itself to be as efficient as you know you would expect a guy in a Stefanski offense. So I think there's concerns too. We talked a lot all offseason on this show about like elite players don't forget how to be elite, but there's just so many red flags here with Deshaun. Just even talk about the on-the-field stuff. On the Who Should I Draft tool, it's Debo Samuel 27%, Amari Cooper 73%, so heavily in favor of Cooper there. Let's go to round 5. Heath, we'll start with you. Cam Akers versus Alexander Mattison.
I'm certainly going to lose this one on the tool because I know hating Alexander Mattison is the most fun hobby of the industry right now. I see these guys both as kind of similar. Like they're both pretty much locked into most likely having a huge share of the team's touches. I have more concern that the Rams offensive line and offense is just going to be absolutely terrible. And so I will go with Alexander Mattison. I expect he's going to see somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 touches per game. I think he's going to score a majority of their running back touchdowns. I think he's less of an injury concern than Cam Akers is. And there's less of a concern of that Vikings offense just completely falling apart. Whereas the Rams line might already be there. And Stafford, who knows how many games he got in him.
Debra?
I love that Heath and I are going toe-to-toe on these. I mean, this is what you want in draft season, the debate back and forth and taking opposite sides of the aisle and letting the listener figure out where they sit on this, because I'm going Cam Akers. I think Alexander Mattison, if there's a wanted poster up there in draft rooms for the dead zone, running back dead zone, Alexander Madison's face should be plastered on it. I mean, basically what we're talking about here is a guy that is, it's really the opportunity that we want. It's not so much the player for me. Because his yards after contact per attempt have dropped in every single season. His yards per route run have dipped in each of the last 3 seasons. In 74 carries last year, the man only managed one run of 15 or more yards. And I don't want to dismiss also the data point of Minnesota bringing in all these different backs. And maybe that's a slight to Ty Chandler, Kenny Nwangwu, or Dwayne McBride. But the other side is maybe that's a little bit lack of a confidence of Madison taking over this workhorse role. And I've seen it in spurts. We haven't seen it an entire season, but I've seen it in spurts longer than Alexander Madison of Cam Akers being an RB1. The guy was a top 10 back over the last half of last year. So improved offensive line with guys coming back, Cooper Kupp, Stafford, and, you know, my boy Puka Nacua scoring touchdowns on the weekly. I think that this offense is going to sit here and be better than what people think, in the sense of they're going to have to put up points because their defense is going to be absolutely dreadful.
Heath, I hope you're sitting down for this. Alexander Madison actually won in the Who Should I Draft tool, 52% to 48% for Cam Akers. That is the closest one that we have on the entire docket today. So very close, basically a coin flip, but Madison does squeak it out just barely in the Who Should I Draft tool. Speaking of that tool, as you guys already know, today's show is powered by our Who Should I Draft tool at fantasypros.com/draft. This is the perfect tool if you're stuck between players during your fantasy draft and need instant advice. You can compare up to 4 players at once and see who over 100 different experts would take. Use the Who Should I Draft tool at fantasypros.com/draft to make the right pick and draft like a pro. Let's get to round number 6 here. D-Bro, Dallas Goedert versus Darren Waller, moving into the tight ends.
This should not even be a conversation. Darren Waller, hands down. I hope that the tool agrees with me, but I just look at these guys. They're in absolutely totally different tiers. Dallas Goedert, in the offense that he's in, if A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith stay healthy, cannot even sniff close to the target share or raw target volume that Darren Waller can with the Giants this year. Back half of last year, they were top 12 pace and passing rate team. I think that continues over to this year with more weapons. And Darren Waller is going to be the wide receiver 1 in New York this year. So yes, Darren Waller all the way.
Yeah, pretty emphatic by D-Bro there. Heath, do you agree? Or are you going to go against him?
Well, I agree with one thing, that I wouldn't have them in similar tiers. I think last year, Dallas Goedert was playing with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, and he was on pace for almost 1,000 yards receiving despite an injury in the middle of the season. I think that what happened last year, we look at Goddard at around 12 fantasy points per game with just 3 touchdowns. If he had scored at the rate that he has for most of his career, then you're looking at a guy who gets close to 1,000 yards and scores 6 touchdowns, and he's an easy top 3 tight end both last year and going into this year. I hate being against Waller because the story is so good, and at his peak, the talent was so good, but we're talking about a 31-year-old, well, next month, 31-year-old tight end who's missed 14 games over the last 2 seasons, who scored more than 3 touchdowns exactly once in his NFL career, going to play with a quarterback who almost never throws for more than 32. I don't think he's ever thrown for more than 3,200 yards and hasn't thrown for more than 15 passing touchdowns since his rookie year. I think the reason that people talk about Daniel Jones taking a step forward last year, that's because Brian Daboll showed up and said, you know what, we're going to have you throw less than you ever had in your career. We're going to have you run more than you ever had in your career, because Daniel Jones is better at running the ball than he is at throwing the ball. I do think Waller's probably the wide receiver 1, but the last 2 seasons, the number 1 target earner for Daniel Jones has seen 76 targets.
I don't say this just to sneak in that my birthday is coming up, but I actually turn 31 tomorrow. And the idea of trying to play NFL tight end, even outside of the fact that I don't have the athleticism for it, is just like, I can't even wrap my head around, you know, such a violent position at this age.
Worm, you're kind of near the NFL. I mean, you've already got the plasma injections, things like that. Yeah, like your body's already like,
I've fallen apart even without 2-a-days. I mean, it's just, it's brutal. I actually, the point I really like that you made there, Heath, is that Goddard was good last year without those wide receivers getting hurt. I did a TikTok live with Andrew Erickson on the Fantasy Pros account yesterday. We talked a lot about tight ends, and he was saying, well, you know, imagine how good Goddard can be if one of A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith gets hurt. And I was like, I don't think they need to get hurt for him to be really good. Like, I like Goddard a lot, actually. I'm with you. The tool is not with us. Goddard got 38%. Darren Waller, 62%. So that one goes towards D-Bro. Let's go to round number 7. You can start us off, Heath. David Montgomery versus James Cook.
Now, I several of these, it sounded like I'm just arguing against the other guy. I'm actually, I think, head of consensus on both James Cook and David Montgomery. So I'm pretty happy with drafting either one of these guys where they're going. I'm going to give a slight lean to James Cook just because I do think he's going to be the lead back in his own backfield. And while Montgomery will be as well on the ground, he won't be through the air. And so just a slight lean to James Cook. I love the explosiveness. I have a hope that we're going to see Josh Allen continues last year's trend of throwing to running backs more than he ever has, and also maybe not running headfirst in the red zone quite as often. Hopefully an increase in touchdowns for James Cook, but Damian Harris hasn't been able to stay healthy. It doesn't sound like when Harris was healthy, he was really as much of a threat to James Cook as I thought he was going to be. So Cook's been one of my big training camp risers. I actually like him as a top 20 running back now.
Yeah, Debra, I know we've talked a lot on this show about how much you love James Cook. But are you going to go against what you've previously said about him here?
No, I'm going with James Cook. Now, I know that if you look at my ranks on Fantasy Pros, I have David Montgomery ranked ahead of James Cook.
I was going
Cook.
To call you out on that.
Yeah, I know. I know. And that's because if you look at touchdown expectations, the offensive system, things like that, the red zone role, I think that all of these things lean towards David Montgomery has some upside. But does he carry the ceiling that James Cook does? No, he does not. Because I think James Cook being the lead back in this offense, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think James Cook is the discount Jahmyr Gibbs this year. You look at both of these guys, you're buying into top five, top 10 offenses, pass game usage, upside, explosive plays. And for me, even though my ranks, I have David Montgomery ahead of him because I think the median, as well as maybe a little bit of the upside, shades towards David Montgomery. I think if you're going to shoot your shot at that point in the draft, and you're saying, which one of these guys could be an RB1, a top 15 back? I think James Cook is my pick here, and I'm not going to sit here and move off of him. I love that Heath has him as a top 24 running back. That's music to my ears, man.
They're back-to-back in our half PPR ECR rankings, Montgomery 20, RB27, and James Cook, RB28. Heath, you said he's been moving up with all the preseason hype and everything, and I'm fully on board with that. What is the ceiling here? Not in terms of how you think the season will play out, but in terms of where his ADP and his ranking ends up if the hype continues throughout August. Like when we're sitting here on Labor Day, where is James Cook going to be ranked, do you think, for most people?
Yeah, I think he can get inside the top 24 running backs in terms of ADP. So in terms of where a player is ranked, I can't remember a year in which the difference between sites, not for certain players, but just positions. We've got some sites where there's six running backs, it seems, taken in the first three rounds. And so on those sites, James Cook's probably never getting better than round seven, round eight. You look at CBS and you've got 17 running backs in the first three rounds. And so he might sneak into round five there. But I think that RB 20 to 24 range is probably where he gets to if everything keeps going well. And most likely a couple of guys have something go wrong and fall behind him.
Live adjustment. I just moved up James Cook to RB 23.
Nice. I expect this to change as the preseason continues, but the current Who Should I Draft tool has David Montgomery 64%, James Cook 36%. I wouldn't be totally shocked if Montgomery stays ahead, but I don't think it will stay that wide of a gap, a 2-to-1 ratio essentially, as we get into September. Guys, anyone who knows me knows how much I love going to see sports in person. Just this week, I got to check off my 15th MLB stadium, actually, when I got to see my first place Baltimore Orioles live in San Diego. So I am halfway to seeing all 30 MLB stadiums, and I plan to get all the way to 30 with the help of Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in the United States for last minute amazing deals on tickets to see your favorite baseball team, band, or comedian. Download Game Time. And again, it's not just sports. Summer means huge concerts and comedy shows all across the country, and Game Time has your tickets. Download the Game Time app and redeem code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code FANTASYPROS for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this week. Download Game Time today and enter code FANTASYPROS. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh my, look at that, he is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Guys, we're on to round 8 here. We have Brian Robinson versus Rashad Penny. D-Bro, start us off.
I'm going to go Rashad Penny. And this might change. I'm going to give that the caveat because of how we're seeing their playing time and what this depth chart's going to look like over the preseason for the Philadelphia Eagles. But I'm still going to sit here and make the bet that Penny is going to be their early down guy. I know all the puff about Kenny Gainwell and DeAndre Swift. And my whole thing is that, look, those guys are going to work more in the passing game, and that's great, but Jalen Hurts is not checking the ball down. So I want the early down grinder. We saw what that did last year with Miles Sanders. And Penny, when he has been healthy, and I know that's a big if, and I know it's had a lot of bumps and bruises along the way, but Penny, when he has been healthy, you can look at just per touch efficiency metrics and tackle breaking stuff. He has been arguably the best running back in the NFL from that standpoint, better than Nick Chubb, better than all these guys we talk about as pure rushing talents behind the Eagles' top 5 offensive line. If he can stay healthy, he consider and run for 1,000 yards, 7+ touchdowns. That would not surprise me.
I mean, yeah, that is a legendarily big if, to be fair, which I
it I is. I've admitted. I caveated. Okay, Worm.
I think it would be fun if we could have a league one day that was just based off of like efficiency, and it didn't like you get the willful, we'll call it the Willful Memorial League.
Yeah.
Or maybe by then it'll be the Rashad Penny Memorial League. Yeah. Honestly, I drafted Brian Robinson today in a mock, and I think it's the first time this offseason I've drafted either one of these guys. So not guys that I'm really targeting, but I do think like you did a good job of talking about the Eagles and what they've shown us early in the preseason. And it has kind of been surprising to me. I don't know what to make of it with Penny. I don't know if he can play more than 4 or 5 games, even if he is given that opportunity, but the Washington usage has been interesting as well. They so far have given Brian Robinson and talked about him more in the passing game than I expected. And there's some question marks about how much of what Eric Bieniemy is going to bring from Kansas City to Washington. But the one thing we've consistently heard is an emphasis on the screen game. And I think some of that's going to go to Antonio Gibson. I like him more than I like either one of these guys, but I think some more of that than I was projecting originally is also going to go to Brian Robinson. And he has a bigger role guaranteed than Penny does. He's certainly not as good. If I had one carry and both guys were 100% healthy and I needed 10 yards, I'm taking Penny every single time. But if I'm trying to draft someone to help my team over an entire season, it's definitely Brian Robinson.
And I think that's a good point to bring up.
Some of the jokes make themselves, man.
Yeah.
If you need 5 yards, Brian Robinson gives you 4. If you need 5 yards, Penny maybe is sitting on the bench.
Well, yeah. Who was the fullback where it was like, if you need 1 yard, I'll get you 3. And if you need 5 yards, I'll get you 3. I don't remember who it was that said that.
I think it was Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, probably Zeke. Heath, I want to ask, I've asked a lot of analysts that we've had on the show this offseason the same question, and I want to get your take on it too, since we're talking about Penny. When you look at a running back in an offense with a rushing quarterback, do you see that more as a benefit because the rushing quarterback is going to take attention and open up running lanes? Or do you see that more as a detriment because those guys tend to not check down as much? You lose some of the work in the passing game and they also vulture some of those goal line touchdowns.
Yeah, I think that like that entire stereotype is maybe a little bit more broken down. Like some quarterbacks do take those goal line carries like Dak did the first 3 years in his career. Lamar Jackson really never has. Some rushing quarterbacks don't throw to their running backs, like Jalen Hurts, 12% last year. I don't know how the passing game role is supposed to be good for DeAndre Swift in that offense. Yeah. But some of them, like Josh Allen or Daniel Jones, run the ball for 600 or 700 yards and still throw to their running backs, mm-hmm. like Allen did last year and Jones has in the past. So if it's just a mobile quarterback and it's not somebody that steals rushing touchdowns or doesn't throw the running back, then I think it's a plus. But if it's somebody like Justin Fields or Jalen Hurts, then I think it's absolutely a negative.
All right, we'll move forward here. Oh, by the way, the percentage is there. Brian Robinson, 71%. Rashad Penny, just 29%. Wow. That was a surprising one to me that it was that lopsided. We'll go to round 9 here, starting with Heath. Brandon Cooks versus Gabe Davis.
This one's hilarious to me because I was the biggest Gabe Davis bust guy last year. I couldn't stand it. I didn't understand it. And I've always been the draft Brandon Cooks in round 7, a free money guy. And I've flopped this year. Well, it's the industry's flopped on Gabe Davis. But I'm going Gabe Davis. I think like what he did last year was almost exactly what I expected him to do. And I think I got a little bit lucky because he got hurt early in the year. He was playing hobbled. And then about the time he got healthy, Josh Allen got hurt. I actually expect Gabe Davis to be better than he was last year. And he's being drafted behind where his finish was from last year. I love Brandon Cooks and I've loved the value he's provided to us over the years. I do have a rule and it's not always right. Sometimes it gets proven wrong. But for the most part, when a wide receiver at 28, 29 or 30 has a season like Brandon Cooks had last year, I believe him. It happened with AJ Green. It happened with Allen Robinson. Like if they show me that they've maybe lost something, I don't necessarily buy into that. Yeah, well, he wasn't trying that hard because the team was so terrible or the quarterback was so terrible. Occasionally that turns out to be the case, but my motto is generally believe him.
Yeah, D-Bro, this is another one where we have these guys back-to-back in the overall expert consensus rankings. One of them's wide receiver 39, the other is wide receiver 40. I won't tell you which one because I don't want to sway you, but who are you taking here, D-Bro?
I'm going with Brandon Cooks, and actually in drafts, I'm in on both of these guys. Like I like both of them where they're going. Brandon Cooks and Gabe Davis, I'll take shots on both of them, whether I'm playing the FFPC Fantasy Pros Championship or I'm playing best balls. Either spot, I like both of these guys, but if I got to pick one, it's going to be Brandon Cooks. And I think we lose kind of the context of what happened to Brandon Cooks last year. Beginning of the season, Pep Hamilton had him in this low A dot role. He was not doing well. And you look over the back half of the season, Pep Hamilton finally woke up and said, well, you know what? This sucks. Apparently we need to change this. And then Brandon Cooks bounced back. You saw all of his numbers go up. A dot went up. Yards per route run went up. And to Heath's point, I think we're looking at a player in Brandon Cooks that hasn't shown the fall off yet. I think he was miscast in a poor role last year, because if you look at deeper metrics, he was 27th in route win rate and 20th in win rate against man coverage last year. So I think he still has the juice. I think he can still play. And just the other side of this coin, Gabe Davis has not shown us to this point at any iteration that he can be a high-end target earner. And we've seen that from Brandon Cooks over multiple seasons. So it's rare for me to take the old crusty vet, but I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks.
I do like both of these guys if you can get them in round 9. Gabe Davis is the one I would prefer, and he is the one that the tool prefers. 59% for Davis, 41% for Brandon Cooks, but that's fairly close. This next one, we're going to a couple quarterbacks. It's Daniel Jones versus Anthony Richardson. And I will mention, Jones is actually technically going in round 9 in our ADP, but we thought it was an interesting comparison to get a couple quarterbacks head-to-head here. Not that they're the most similar, but, you know, both mobile guys. So it's an interesting debate here. So for our round 10, we'll kind of say it's round 10. Daniel Jones versus Anthony Richardson. D-Bro, starting with you.
This one hurts my heart, Worm, because I've got these guys right next to each
I
other.
I knew it would hurt your heart.
And QB 10, man. It's... This one hurts. This is exactly why you can wait on late round quarterback this year, because Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, and Geno Smith are all crazy values. Daniel Jones, I have at QB 9, and Anthony Richardson, QB 10. I'm going to go with Danny Dimes. Again, I've been pounding this drum, and I talked about Darren Waller earlier. Danny Dimes, we saw last year. Yes, the rushing equity is not going anywhere. Top 10 QB last year in fantasy points per game, 7th in fantasy points per dropback. They're going to pass more this year. His passing touchdowns are going to go up. I think this offense is going to surprise a lot of people in both pace and passing volume. So while I love both, damn you, Worm, I'm going to take Dimes.
It's actually blame John, our producer.
I've already sent John Slack messages. I just have to give you hate on the show.
I do question whether the Giants throwing more would be a good thing for Daniel Jones' fantasy value, or if it'd be better if they just let him run more. But I agree that they're both good values. I drafted Jones in a mock today. I'm going with Richardson just because I believe in Shane Steichen and the fact that what he did with Justin Herbert in Herbert's rookie year, and then he goes to Philadelphia and does something completely different for 2 years with Jalen Hurts. And then they draft the greatest athlete to ever test at the NFL combine. Like 10 rush attempts per game was Jalen Hurts' average over the last two seasons. Considering they drafted someone who is a better athlete than Jalen Hurts and a worse passer than Jalen Hurts, I'm expecting 10 rush attempts for Anthony Richardson. This is outlandish. And as a projections guy, I'm usually the guy that doesn't project wild things. I project Anthony Richardson to lead all quarterbacks in rushing yards this season. I think he has a chance to lead all quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns this season. So I'm going with Anthony Richardson.
Heath, yeah. Where do you have A-Rich ranked at right now?
I've got him 9 right now. And the only reason I don't have 8, I'm a bigger Tua guy. But
I love it.
I have had a Trevor Lawrence
this last week, and I was making bets, just shaking hands and making bets all I could with people saying, can Anthony Richardson be a top 12 quarterback? And I'm like, if he starts all the games, he's locked in as a top 12 guy. Like, I don't care. Like, well, he is going to finish as a QB1.
You'll love it even more because CBS is one of the only sites where the standard scoring setting is 6 points per a pass touchdown. If we were talking 4 points per a pass touchdown, I've had him QB6 or higher. QB7.
Yeah.
And that's where I've been the entire offseason. It's like people all poo-pooed what Jalen Hurts did in his first year as a starter. He was still the QB6 in fantasy points per game. So say what you want, but the numbers all add up.
There was some risk with Richardson before he got to camp. But I think there was some risk that Shane Steichen looked at him and said, okay, we're going to have to wait a year on this. It's too bad. But the fact that he saw him for 2 or 3 weeks at camp and in one preseason game, he said, okay, we've got our starter. Considering they have probably the best backup quarterback in the league. I mean, everybody loves Gardner Minshew. I think it's sky's the limit.
Yeah, I don't know that we've ever had a better example of like the Konami code quarterback than Anthony Richardson this season. I would say, go so far as to say, if you guaranteed me he's starting every game this year, I would be shocked if he falls below QB8, honestly. And I know the top of the QB position is amazing, but like him not playing is really the only risk. And like you said, Heath, that is even, you know, mitigated fairly quickly here in the preseason. Daniel Jones does get a lot more of the vote, though. 77% on the Who Should I Draft tool versus Anthony Richardson, 23%.
And that's the thing. That's another one of those guys that, like, most of the sites I look at, Richardson's not QB 10 or 11. He's QB 16 or QB 17. Yeah. Like, yeah, I think the public doesn't like him as much as we do at all.
Well,
no, and I don't understand. Like, what does he have to do to get in people's good graces? It's like, haven't we seen this enough with Daniel Jones last year and Jalen Hurts the year before that, like, you cannot be playing quarterback at an exceptionally high level as far as NFL standards, and you could still be absolute money for fantasy?
He's somebody that you can also take advantage of in your, you know, friends and family, more casual home leagues, I think, because they're going to look at the projections, you know, in the draft board,
you know, in the draft room, it's going to be, oh, he's not going to throw for that many yards. I've never heard of this guy before. He's on the Colts. They stink. People who don't actually like pay that close attention will probably not be on high, as high on him as people in the industry are. And you can take advantage of that for the listeners. We'll go to round 11 here. A couple of young wide receivers, Quentin Johnston versus Sky Moore. Heath, starting with you.
Yeah, I'm going to lose this one on all fronts, but I'm still going with Sky Moore. I have a little bit of a concern about Quentin Johnston, just because like of the archetypes of wide receivers that have gone in round one or round two and really disappointed us over the last few years, it's the Quentin Johnston type. It's the big dudes who look like wide receiver ones, who maybe have a little bit of trouble separating and all their catches seem to be contested. I think he could be a similar start to his career as what Mike Williams was. Maybe he has a 10 touchdown season one year, but the fact that he's playing with Mike Williams, with Keenan Allen, and Sky Moore is right now looking at MVS and Richie James as target competition, I'm going to lean towards Sky Moore. I think both these guys in the double digit rounds are fine. I have a hard time getting excited about Johnston for this year, and long term, I have a little bit of concern about the profile itself.
Yeah, I actually fully agree with you here for all the same reasons you said. So, Debra, are you going to make it unanimous or are you going against us?
This is another pain point. I hate this question. I really do. I love both of these guys. I'm going to lean with Quentin Johnston here, and it's not by much. Like, I have both of these guys in a similar range of wide receivers in that low-end wide receiver three territory. I just look at Quentin Johnston and I think that the concerns with injury for Mike Williams are real. We've seen it over enough seasons to understand that. And in this offense, I have no qualms about like the fact that I think Justin Herbert is going to lead the NFL in passing attempts this year in a Kellen Moore offense. And if that happens, Quentin Johnston has 100 to 120 target upside in this offense. If one of those guys goes down, Keenan Allen or Mike Williams, that could even go higher. And as much as I love Sky Moore, it hurts, man. Like, I don't know how much of a red zone threat he's going to be versus somebody with the size of Quentin Johnston, as well as the pace of that offense. So really, I feel like we're splitting hairs. My answer is really both, but if I got to pick one for absolute ceiling, I'm going to go QJ here.
Yeah, you do have to pick one, D-Bro. It's not supposed to be easy, all right? These are debates that are tricky. We're trying to help out the listeners here. If it was easy, they wouldn't need our help. This is actually another fairly lopsided one in the tool. Quentin Johnston, 73%. Sky Moore, just 27%. I do not agree with that.
I don't agree. That should be more of a coin flip.
I might be a little too low on Johnston because I am super, super optimistic about Herbert this year too, D-Bro. And yet I keep ranking all of the guys he's throwing to not that highly. So I'm probably there. You know, there's something missing there. But let's go to round 12. D-Bro, Rashad Bateman, my guy, versus Adam Thielen. D-Bro, who you got?
This is a slam dunk. Like, this should be 100% in the draft. I don't want anything to do with Adam Thielen. No. Like, however you want to parse this out, his efficiency metrics, age, the passing volume of said offense, all of it shades to, I don't want anything to do with Adam Thielen. Rashad Bateman is the guy here. Baltimore is going to throw more. The talent is there for Rashad Bateman. All we need is the health. And I know I said it on the penny case, but the same thing stands up true for Rashad Bateman. He has been snake bitten every year, whether it's been his health, the health of Lamar Jackson, all of these different parts or pieces in between. When he's been healthy and he's had competent quarterback play, we have seen the talent and the reason why Shoddy B went in the first round of the NFL draft. Shoddy B season, baby. I'm not getting off that train.
Let's not compare him to Rashad Penny levels of injury prone. But yes, it's been a tough 2 years.
Yeah, right. I mean, it has to start somewhere. You can't have injury concerns 6 years in a row if you don't have them 2 years in a row. Yeah. So on the path, and it is Rashad. But no, this was one I think where I probably had Thielen in the rankings back when this was originally put together, and I'm not going to argue for Adam Thielen, so I'm just going to move Rashad Bateman ahead of Adam Thielen. I do think that they are both in situations where they could be the number one wide receiver on a run heavy team. They are both in situations where they could be the number three wide receiver on a run heavy team. They both have injury concerns, but I don't want to be the guy advocating for the old crusty wide receiver, even though I do think that like it wouldn't actually surprise me that much if Adam Thielen sees 110 targets this year and has 850 yards receiving, but scores 9 touchdowns because he scores half of their receiving touchdowns. He's still an excellent red zone threat, but there's more upside with Bateman, although it's getting more and more difficult for me to believe watching these Zay Flowers clips of him just absolutely dusting people that Rashad Bateman's going to be the number one there. I think Flowers may be locking that one up.
Yeah, well, and Mark Andrews, of course, being one of the top targets, too.
Right.
You know, just eats into that. It is not 100%. Rashad Bateman does have 87% of this vote, 13%, although that's going to go down once Heath changes up his rankings.
I blame Thor. I blame Kelly. I blame all the different people that are Vikings fans. I don't know. No. It's too much Vikings love.
We've got two more rounds to go here. We'll go through them quickly just to wrap up. Round number 13, Tank Bigsby versus Roschon Johnson, a couple of rookie running backs who are not clear number ones in their backfields. Who do you guys like more? Starting with you, Heath.
This one, I've actually got Tank just ahead of Roschon, and I think they both probably get off to slow starts this season. I think they both have an opportunity to carve out a little bit bigger roles. But I do think that, like, the one thing that you said earlier about the Tank Bigsby red zone role, I think that's right. Like, I don't think he's going to take passing downs from Travis Etienne, but I expect him to be the goal line guy. I think he probably scores enough touchdowns to outscore Roschon Johnson this year. And that Chicago situation is one where, like, Khalil Herbert's really good at the things that he's good at, and Deontay Foreman's been really good at the things that he's good at. And so I just get really concerned that it's a three-headed backfield, and then Justin Fields is actually the only head that actually matters.
Devereaux, I know you've been a Roschon guy all offseason.
I'm going to highlight what Heath brought up here real fast. I've got both of these guys in my rankings right now. I've got Roschon at RB33. I've got Tank at RB36. Like, I've got both of them in a similar range. And I'm leaning towards Roschon because if one of these guys, as long as Travis Etienne stays healthy, the chances of Tank taking over the backfield are slim to none. Like, totally, like, 60 to 65% chance, or 65% of the opportunities. I think that's a zero sum. So with Roschon, I still have the light on that he can sit here and take over this backfield. And I'm not saying that Khalil Herbert's been bad or that Deontay Foreman has been bad. They have three really talented guys, but Roschon is easily the best pass catcher out of these three guys, best pass protector. I don't think that anybody's going to sit here and push back hard against either one of those points. And if we look at, and we talked about this on previous shows, Worm, with Brett Coleman, all of the offseason moves, I'm in concert with Brett here, holding hands that this run game is going to change from more of an outside zone scheme to inside zone gap runs. And I think that benefits Deontay Foreman and Roschon. And while I'm not looking for a bunch of checkdowns for Roschon, I think that he still has the talent profile and the skill set to take over this backfield. So I'm going to lean upside for two guys that I have in the same tier. I'm going Roschon.
You know, I said earlier that Akers Madison was the closest one. This is actually tied for that. Tank Bigsby, 52%. Ooh. Roschon Johnson, 48%. So essentially a coin flip in the Who Should I Draft tool. The last one, I do not expect to be a coin flip. I expect this to be lopsided. Jalen Hyatt versus Michael Gallup. Debro, start us off.
Can I just say neither?
Yes.
I don't want either, really. If I got to pick one guy, I'm going to go Michael Gallup because I don't have any questions about him being a starter in 2 to 3 wide receiver sets. Jalen Hyatt, I think that after Darren Waller in this passing game, you're going to have Isaiah Hodgins on the outside. Darius Slayton is going to flank him on the other side. I think it's going to be a gaggle of guys working behind Waller, Hodgins, and Slayton. And I don't even know if we're going to see Jalen Hyatt even get weeks this season where he's even the full-time starter in this offense. So for just snaps, buying into another good offense, touchdown and rapport with Gallup and Dak Prescott, I'll go Gallup here. Although my underlining answer is neither.
Yeah, I don't have either of these guys in my top 14 rounds, but I will go Jalen Hyatt. I think you're right about the median outcome. The median outcome is definitely Michael Gallup over Jalen Hyatt. I have an easier way seeing Hyatt, if he's special, overtaking the people in front of him at wide receiver than I do Gallup earning targets when Cooks and CeeDee Lamb are both healthy. So it's strictly an upside play. Maybe he gets a 4-week stretch like Richie James did last year, where he averages 16 fantasy points per game. But again, I think these are not guys that I'm generally drafting unless the draft goes more than 14 rounds.
Yep, agreed.
All right, I'll give a quick recap here. We got through all 14. Nicely done, everybody. In round one, you guys both took Ja'Marr Chase over Justin Jefferson. In round two, Debro took A.J. Brown. Heath took Devontae Adams. In round three, neither of you really liked the options, but Debro took Najee Harris. Heath took Travis Etienne. In round four, Debo Samuel went to Heath. Amari Cooper to Debro. In round five, Debro took Cam Akers. And Heath took Alexander Mattison. In round six, Heath took Dallas Goedert. Debro took Darren Waller. In round seven, you both took James Cook over David Montgomery, I think. In round eight, Debro took Rashad Penny. Heath kind of said neither, kind of Brian Robinson, not really in on either of them. Round nine, Brandon Cooks to Debro, Gabe Davis to Heath. Round 10, Debro took Daniel Jones because he's on record as hating Anthony Richardson. Heath took Anthony Richardson.
Whoa!
Round 11, Debro took Quentin Johnson because he's on record as hating Sky Moore. Heath took Sky Moore. Round 12, you both took Rashad Bateman over Adam Thielen. Debro's walking off the set. Round 13, Heath took Tank Bigsby. Debro took Roschon Johnson. And round 14, you kind of both took neither. But Michael Gallup does get 89% of the Who Should I Draft Tool vote on that one. Jalen Hyatt just 11%. That will wrap things up. A lot of names we got through. I think that was a really fun, informative episode for everybody. For Heath and Debro, I am Ryan Wormley. Please go check out Game Time, the opportunities I mentioned there. Also, check out our Draft Wizard tool and the Who Should I Draft tool. And follow Heath and go, you know, do all your stuff on CBS. Go follow everybody. It's a super fun time of year. Let's all just talk some fantasy football, have some fun. Again, for Heath and Debro, I'm Ryan. We'll see you guys again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.